You're listening to The Capital Table. Private capital markets have been evolving for many years, but never more so than in recent times. Take a seat at the Capital Table with leading experts discussing insights into the private equity and M&A worlds, and take away the knowledge you need to excel in a rapidly changing marketplace. We know this is one table you'll leave feeling full and satisfied.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of The Capital Table, and actually the second in our series of Supply Chain Fast Five. And today we're going to talk with Travis about production costing. So welcome back to The Capital Table, Travis.
Thanks, Steve. Happy to be back.
So let's start our discussion today briefly. What is production costing and why is it important?
Sure. Yeah. And I just want to clarify one thing before we start, which is that we're talking about the standard production costing methods, not the inventory costing methods. I know those, there's a tendency to commingle the two, and I just want to make sure that it's clear to our audience that we're talking about the various inputs that could be involved when creating a production costing methodology that will ultimately feed into the value of your inventory, but we won't be talking about LIFO, FIFO, or any of the inventory costing approaches. So now that that's out of the way, back to your question, the production costing is a way for companies to track all costs associated with making a product from start to finish. And the calculation itself can vary in both complexity and how it's applied, but the end goal is ultimately the same, which is to give companies better cost visibility in order to make better informed pricing decisions and ultimately maximize profits.
Yeah, certainly critical information for our audience as they're managing portfolios or looking at deals and companies. So with that, what are some of the common production costing methodologies used, and is there a preferred option in your view?
So some of the common costing methodologies include job costing, standard costing, which is a very commonly used one, activity-based or ABC, and then direct costing or target costing. And to answer the question of which one is preferred, well, as with a lot of things, the answer is it just depends on the type of business. So one primary factor is, let's say, for example, it's a make-to-order business, they'll typically use job costing just because it's easier to track and apply specific purchases and labor to an individual job or production run. Whereas a make-to-stock business may lean more towards the standard costing, as they tend to have a wider array of products, and so the challenge of associating costs to specific products will be more challenging. Another factor which will determine which costing method to use is how sophisticated the accounting team is in both the resource availability and the technology to enable the costing process. So activity-based offers more accurate cost tracking and association to the specific products, but the amount of time that's required to get those results may not necessarily be the best cost-benefit trade-off when you compare it to standard costing, which will typically get you within a few percentage points of the same answer.
Yeah, interesting overview of those approaches. So what are some of the challenges involved with implementing standard costing? And as you point out, a very common approach in many businesses.
Yeah, so as mentioned, some methods are much more cumbersome to not only set up, but more importantly, maintain on a daily, weekly, monthly, or even annual basis. And so going back to the activity-based, this method incorporates more of the indirect costs up front into the production activities with the goal of having that enhanced decision-making on pricing. However, this means that you must have a method of applying or allocating these indirect spend categories to the individual products themselves, and then you must be able to repeat that process consistently, sometimes even as quickly as the product exits the manufacturing process and is moved to the saleable inventory category. And then along those same lines of indirect costs, there are several fixed and variable overhead cost categories that should be considered in your costing development approach. Here, again, the challenge can be you know, ultimately deciding on a reasonable way to allocate those costs across the product portfolio. And so, for instance, energy cost is a highly variable cost, and depending on a company's level of technology and data sophistication, and they could have the individual energy usage of each machine and even further down to each production run. But if that isn't available, which for most it really isn't, the assumptions can start to be made, such as a square footage calculation against the overall footprint of the manufacturing space, or even simpler, total machine hours of that machine against all machines that are in use. So again, it just ultimately depends on how granular each company wants to get and whether or not that extra level of effort is going to be important in driving those pricing decisions to maximize profit margin. And so hopefully in any of the scenarios that I just outlined, companies have some automated steps either through their ERP or some manufacturing software to assist in their costing methodology and process. And I know several companies typically will rely on Excel on a regular basis for the initial setup and ultimately the monthly analysis that comes out of it. And this can work in the short term, but in the long term, as they continue to scale and grow, the challenge is maintaining this ever-growing series of files and folders as the business grows and as the product mix changes, as the equipment matures, as the manufacturing process changes, or even the people maintaining the process leave or change positions. And so it can be very challenging to constantly rely on manual updates from only a few people.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And similarly, I think looking at the standard costing program, I mean, what are some of the benefits of a strong program and really going to the level of detail you're talking about?
Yeah. I know we just touched on the challenges, but it's not all doom and gloom. There are too many to count in terms of the benefits, but we'll start with some of my favorites. The first and foremost is just the cost awareness, which is crucial at any time, but especially now during these times of uncertainty with supply chain disruptions occurring at any given time, and then even the potential shifts in both the demand as well as inflation. And so having this cost awareness enables you to do so many things, such as assisting with pricing by product and by customer, as you understand where you have room for margin expansion or contraction. Another benefit is to help zero in on the products that may have a lower profit target set than the rest of the product portfolio, which allows you to immediately start brainstorming the supply chain improvement activities like sourcing changes or process inefficiencies in order to improve the unit economics of those products, or more quickly realize that the life cycle on those products is probably closer to the end and they may need to be discontinued just because they're not sustainable in the long term. And then another benefit, which is a little bit more of a qualitative and quantitative benefit, is giving the entire company some goals to rally around because the standards that are set are actually achievable. And so most people I find want to be good at their jobs and have a desire to accomplish something every single day. And so being able to create the appropriate metrics against those individual product standards that are visible to everyone at each level gives people that sense of accomplishment each day that those targets can be hit. And then the last thing that I want to touch on is just for companies that are in the early stages of growth or are experiencing high growth, having a costing method in place helps provide a strong foundation for whenever they are ready to make a move to a more sophisticated ERP system, because they'll not only have something to compare the software outputs to during the testing phase, but it'll help with the software selection process even, as they'll know where they have gaps or blind spots currently in their process, and they can target in on the software that can help them address or even automate some of those steps for them, which only strengthens the entire process.
Yeah, fascinating. And I know as we look at, you know, advising clients both on buy side and sell side, this area is so critical for the next stage of a company, and certainly understanding some of these key operating decisions. But with that, you know, how important is having, you know, the reporting, the analytics readily available to be able to compare actuals against standards, and what do you do with those?
Yeah. Up until this point, we've talked mostly about the development of these standards. But one of my favorite quotes is what's known as Pearson's Law, which basically says when performance is measured, performance improves, and that which is measured and reported improves exponentially. And so depending on your business, you may not be able to wait until month-end close to see the variances of your actuals against your individual product standards. And so implementing a costing method where the actuals can be compiled and analyzed in a timely manner for your business is absolutely crucial. And so once you start having your performance measured and reported upon, you can start investigating what's driving those wider than acceptable variances at the summary level, and ideally all the way down to a specific product or customer. And so even further, it gives you that insight in determining if you set the reasonable standards throughout your product portfolio, or if changes need to be accounted for during the next review process. And also the ability to see the contribution margin for each product is extremely beneficial, as it can strengthen your pricing and decisions in both your existing customers and, more importantly, in the sales cycle to potential new customers or new markets. And so, as mentioned previously, you know, this capability is best enabled through some sort of ERP reporting mechanism or even connecting to some data visualization software that can generate these reports automatically on a cadence that makes sense for your business, whether that's daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, or anything in between there. And this is something that companies are regularly asking for help on, as the initial setup of some of these reporting mechanisms or data connections, and then ultimately creating the relevant metrics and visuals can be a steep learning curve initially, but once it's in place, provides an endless amount of value in the long term.
Yeah, well said. And certainly for our audience, don't forget Pearson's Law. So that's a good little takeaway from this discussion. But Travis, you know, what's some final thoughts for our audience on production costing methods?
Yeah, so ultimately, again, the decision for which framework to use is largely just that cost-benefit relationship. And there really is no wrong answer if it makes sense for your business. And so companies just need to weigh the burden of accumulating all of that costing information, whether it's historical information or even the attempts to predict the future, against what the end goal is. Ultimately is, which again is just which method is going to provide the ease of use in achieving your desired cost visibility and ultimately your profit margin.
Yeah, and as you pointed out, certainly in the economic times right now, I mean, these decisions are always important. This information is always important. But for our audience, obviously, it's navigating the waters ahead. It's going to be critical to understand this information. So, Travis, we really appreciate you kind of walking through this discussion with us. And again, thank our audience for joining us in our second episode of the Supply Chain Fast Five segment of our ongoing series on the Capital Table. So thanks for joining us, Travis, and thanks to the audience for joining us today.
Thanks, Steve.
You've been listening to the Capital Table. For more information, please visit witham.com. Thank you for listening.